Okay, ladies, today is our seventh week in our series of Scriptural Secrets for Victorious Living. And we've spent the last six of those weeks, or this is our sixth week, in looking at the fundamentals for victory. And today, we're going to review for just a second what we did the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the fact that in Philippians 1:6, Paul writes and God tells us that it's a process. And Paul says to the Philippians, and he says to us, the church, that he is confident of this very thing, that he, God, who began a good work in us, will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So we said, okay, it's a process that's going to last for a lifetime. And we want to be confident in that process of knowing God's at work. He's doing a new thing. He's always doing something new. Sometimes that's uncomfortable, but what he's doing is good work. And we want to be open to that process. We want to embrace that process. And then last week, we started talking about another fundamental, which is people. And the bottom line of what we said last week is people are part of the process. You know, really, if you, in the verse, I think, that would probably summarize it the best is Luke 17:1, that says, it is impossible for offense not to come. People are just people. People are imperfect. They're flawed. They're fallen. They're sinful. And they aren't perfect. And so because we have to interact with sinful people and because we're flawed and fallen ourselves, even though we're forgiven, even though we're children of God, we're going to have some people issues. So we did that last week. I've gotten some really good feedback for those of you who were either here or who've listened, because this is where we live, is with people, you know. So as I got up on Wednesday morning, I had, you know, I have to get past Monday, preparation day. This is my week. I prepare on Monday. I'm really focused. I tend to be a tunnel vision kind of girl. I kind of do one thing at a time. Monday, I'm preparing. Tuesday, I'm here, and I'm doing discipleship. Then Wednesday morning, I'm getting up, I'm thinking about my week. Had a people issue on my front burner. And so I got up, I went to my spot, and I felt like as I was sitting quietly before the Lord, he said, practice what you preach. And I went, yeah, yes, Lord, I need to practice what I preach. And then he reminded me of that verse. It was one of the early discipleship verses I learned in Matthew 7. And let me read that to you, because this is our next fundamental, is practice. And here's the verse to go with it. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says this. This is my paraphrase. Jesus told his disciples, he who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And then when the storm came and the winds blew, that house would stand because it was built on the rock. So we want to be people who practice. We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We don't want to just know a bunch of stuff about the Bible. We want to put it into practice so that when these relational issues come, when the process gets tough, when it gets long, when our waiting on the Lord to do this new thing in our life starts getting wearisome, we want to have that solid rock place to stand. We want to be practicing. So that's what I did on Wednesday morning. I got my yellow pages out, girls, and I started getting into it. And I literally, because I had some travel last week, I had spent three separate long sessions in the Word. I wasn't really sure what we were doing. I had one that I just studied Philippians. The next one, I kind of got into the people thing. And then Monday, I really got into the people thing. And then I got up Tuesday morning, and we did the people thing. So I had spent a lot of time in these principles last week. But when I got to Wednesday, after spending all that time rehearsing, writing, analyzing in a good way, applying, you know, putting it into some sort of a usable format, and I got my people issue on the front burner, and I got my yellow pages and my pen and my Bible out, guess what? I started to do my own homework, and I thought, this is hard. I don't know how y'all felt about it, but I mean, I want you to know, I had a hard time doing this homework. And I went, wow, I mean, I couldn't do it all. It's just what I'm here to tell you. So just, if that makes you feel any better, I try to design these with my ears open and my brain sort of turned off. I'm trying to listen to God about what to do. And I'm trying to just apply what he's doing in my own life. But what I thought was, wow, that was really a difficult exercise. And I had the benefit of having sat in this material for a long time. And y'all had just heard it, you know, for 45, 50 minutes. So I thought, you know what? I think it would be, and then the Lord gave me that verse, and then it was started with a P, practice. And I went, okay, that's it, baby. We're practicing today. So that is our next fundamental, is practice. And what I want to do today is take you through what I did. I want you to sit on my sofa with me in my keeping room, in my spot with Jesus, and eavesdrop on my time with the Lord. I'm going to walk you through my exercise that I did. And what I'm hoping to do is keep it generic enough so that you can take the broad principle and apply it to your situation. Okay, and here's the thing. My expectation is this, that you will get some practice in your people principles and in your processing. I have no goal for y'all to have this issue resolved today. I hope you will be farther down the road in it. I hope you'll have some good strategies. I hope you will have some good practice and some faith muscles being built up. I believe you will be better for having been here and been soaked in the Word and praise the Lord. I know that to be true. I know that to be true because the Word of God does not return void, it says in Isaiah 55. So let me just walk you through what I did. So We're now on practicing the principles. And let me just say this so you'll know. I have got three papers out there that you need right now or before we finish today. I've got this green paper, which is our outline as usual, and we'll be using that during our praise time. I've got almost a repeat of the yellow pages. The first page of the yellow pages this week is almost identical to what we did last week. So you might want to pull out any work that you did on last week's paper. This is a fresh one that you can do some work on. And then the tools and techniques, spiritual blessings, which is basically a promises page. That's what we'll be working on and with today. Okay, now, here's what I did with my last week's yellow pages. I looked at it, and basically what I do with the Word of God is see it as a prompt to pray. If I have a principle, that I turn into a prayer, bottom line. That's that appropriation tool and technique that we talk about. So we've already kind of focused a lot on that this semester, and I love that. But a verse that I don't think I've said that I think is really relevant right here is Romans 8:26. It's one I pray on a daily basis. And I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. Romans 8:26 says, "The Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf." So what does that mean? To me, what that means is I can say, God, I've got this relational issue. I don't know what in the heck to pray. But you've told me, and you've told me I don't know what to pray. So that's helpful. I don't feel bad about myself to not know what to pray because you said I don't know what to pray. Would you have the Holy Spirit pray through me? And so I just ask him to do that. And the Holy Spirit will take of the Word of God, and he will take the prayer from my heart, and he will bear it up to the throne of God, and he will meld it with the very will of God about this issue. We can be confident in knowing that we're covered. Okay, Jesus pleads for us. He always lives to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25, we said last week. And the Holy Spirit, now we know, is praying on our behalf. So we can ask the Holy Spirit to do that. So as I did that, I just said, God, help with this relational issue. And so I went to my one thing, and what did I do with it? I said, I'm going to turn that into a prayer. This is prayer fodder. So I said, this was my prayer that I wrote down. Lord, help me not to resist the midwives you were using in my life to birth a new thing. I want you to bring to completion the process of producing more love in me, and that I will be an instrument for your glory. That was my one thing from last week. So I just turned it into a prayer. God, that was your idea. not mine. I'm just going to count on you to do what you've already said. I appropriate that. Then what I did was what I've told y'all to do every single week on the Yale page. I looked over my class notes, and as I did, 2 points stood out in my relational issue. These may be 2 different ones from you, but I'm going to tell you what I did. This is just how I do it every week, basically. The principle of faithfulness was one that was very applicable to my issue. And what I did was I looked that over. I looked at the verses once again, and here's the application I made. I need to adjust my investment and my expectations in this relationship based on the faithfulness of the other person. I found this great new verse. Now, I didn't do this in this session, but I'm going to give it to you because it's so daggum good. So I was studying another whole topic a couple of days later, and the verse that I got, I was in my New Living Bible, and I was studying a whole different thing, but in Deuteronomy 32, this verse caught my eye, and it's verse 19, New Living. The Lord saw, and I'm adding this to this is from the context. The Lord saw this, and what he saw was the children of Israel's unfaithfulness, okay? They weren't faithful to God. So the Lord saw their unfaithfulness and drew back. And I went, whoo, was that in the Bible before? That is a great verse for this issue about faithfulness. So we see it does not mean when someone is not treating your heart with the honor, the respect, the kindness, the love, and the faithfulness that you're putting out there, and that as just a child of God, your heart should be treated with, then it is appropriate to draw back, to put some distance in that relationship, not to erect a wall, but to wisely, prayerfully seek the Lord about what is an appropriate amount of love to give in this situation. We had in our homework and in our lecture last week, Luke 6, 35 through 38, and verse 35 says, give expecting nothing in return. You know, God so loved that he gave, so giving is loving. We are to love others unconditionally and not expect anything in return. We do that because God's commanded us to do that and because we're better for having loved. So love is unconditional. It doesn't matter what another person does. They could be a hatchet murderer off of Saul 7, you know, and we are still called to love them. Yes, and those people promised not to make another movie, and they did it anyway. But anyway, that's an aside, which is totally irrelevant. But anyway, so love is unconditional, but trust is earned. And I know you've heard me say that before, but really, how many times do we need to be reminded of that? And the reference for that is 1 Corinthians 4:2 from the NIV. I like the way the NIV says it. It's clear and generally applicable. 1 Corinthians 4:2 NIV says this, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Y'all, we need wisdom and we need practice on this point. I need to practice this. In my situation that I was bringing to the altar in my prayer time, I need to practice that. And that is not all. Sometimes there are relationships in which I'm called to give all the time. Think about a newborn baby. They give nothing back but being cute sometimes. You know, sometimes they're cute. Yeah, that's appropriate for me to do all the giving in that. But if you're talking especially about a peer situation, you know, you need to think about it, the faithfulness factor. So that's what I was doing. Okay, and so what other principle did I pull out from this that Paul was talking about in Philippians 1, 9 through 11, and the characteristics of loving? What does love look like? And he gave those 4 things. Well, the one of those that I needed, well, he said abounding, discerning, what was the third one? And without offense. I'm forgetting that third one. But anyway, there were 4 of them. And the one that I needed, I beg your pardon? Sincere and without offense. The one that I need practice on is that discerning love. I'm so focused, y'all. I'm generally an optimist. I'm generally a visionary. I can see out in the future how great it would be. And so I'm so focused on what it could be that I tend to get out there, and I'm frustrated that what it is right now and what it could be. So I need discernment to say, okay, wait a minute. Let's be in reality. Here's the reality of the way it is. And I need discerning love because I need to be able to recognize that sometimes what I want in a relationship is not what the other person wants or signed up for. So I need discernment to be able to see inside my own heart, as well as to discern the temperature and the status of the relationship. So those were the two principles that I spent my time on. So that's prompts to pray. All that was prayer fodder for me. Okay, my B on the outline is promise within the principle. And I love this statement that I heard sometime ago that said, within every principle is a promise. Within every principle is a promise. So as we're looking at these relational principles, we can turn a principle into a promise and count on God to do it. So if we obey the principle, if first of all, we need to believe it. That's our main work, is to work to believe. And then secondly, we want to be obedient as unto the Lord, not as unto man. And then what if we will do that, we'll see that God will be faithful to bring to pass what he's called us to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 is such a multi-applicable verse. And it's in our worksheet for you to take home this week. But it's that wonderful, wonderful verse that says, he who has called you is faithful, and he also will do it, or he will bring it to pass. We can count on God to do that, to complete the good work he's begun in us. So I apply this to the next part of our worksheet. As I've told you again and again, my one goal, my vision statement is Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, that would be my one goal. And really, this class about victory, this series on victory, is really about that. Because we know if we have that one goal, that's an attainable goal. We always, 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 always can win if our goal is to know God. So really, if you think about it, that's just, boy, you could write that on a t-shirt, couldn't you? Or needle pointed on a pillow. If we could just click into that and remember that. And that's what the Lord's training us to do. So Philippians 3:10, we're looking at these other goals now on the worksheet. And so I'm turning the principle of knowing God into a promise. And then I'm going to apply it a little bit more specifically. So here's what I want to apply. The verse says this. Now listen to this and listen well, because it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Who in here wants some power? Everybody wants resurrection power. And the second part is the fellowship of his suffering. And when I got to that, I went, okay. Maybe a little bit of a sticking point for me. Lord, what would you have me to do with that? Let me tell you what we did. Here we go. Identified the other goals. I went through the list, and I found three. And I was looking at this one front burner situation, but these are the three that I crop up with time and time again. And what I sought to do is as I identified it, as I was honest before the Lord, I asked him to replace that goal, which is not obtainable, which requires another person to participate, with an obtainable goal, which is to know God, and some specific biblical handles, some things I could hang on to, things I could pray, things I could believe, things I could count on. So here we go. My first one was avoid more pain and rejection. Now, I know most of y'all in here want to sign up for more pain and rejection and can't possibly understand why I would have that goal. But y'all, I mean, I think this is a universal goal that we all have. I will just be honest with you, that there's nothing attractive about that to me. But I want to be open. I want to be open to how that can be something that I do with a whole heart. So here's what the Lord said to me. Here's a new goal that you can put in the place of that. I can suffer righteously, and I can bring glory to God and joy to my heart. If Paul is my example, if he's sitting chained in that prison, if his head's on the chopping block, if the stinky sewage of Rome is underneath him day in and day out, if he's being persecuted, if he's being misunderstood, if his whole entire past seems to have been worthless, if he did the most heinous sins, which he did, and that is haunting him, this is the man writing from that situation, speaking about joy and speaking about it's his goal to know God and the fellowship of his suffering. I believe that that is in the Bible, so you and I can both experience in that. So I want to bring God glory. That was the bottom line of that prayer he prayed for the Philippians in Philippians 1:11. He said, if we will love like this, it will bring glory to God. We will be fulfilling our purpose in life. And that joy, that's that joy inexpressible. That's not, the world doesn't give you that. Only Jesus can give you that. And if you think about it, here's how I got motivated to say, okay, God, that's not exactly what I wanted to hear, but what's my option? What is my option? Okay, well, I can endure my pain in a way that won't benefit me and won't benefit the kingdom. I mean, God's going to be glorified because he's God either way, negatively or positively. I can always serve as a bad example, but that is not what I want to be. I don't want to be that bad example, because listen to this. What I wrote was this. If I am not willing to suffer righteously, then what I'm doing is I am being a victim. And when I have a victim mindset, I can't see God because I'm focused on the people and I am refusing to take responsibility for my part. If I'm willing to take responsibility and allow God to sanctify me and purify my love, that's going to bring glory for God, whether nothing ever changes with him. But if I'm so focused on what they're doing and how they treated me and how ugly they acted and how it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Y'all, all I'm doing is set myself up to be a victim. And people avoid victims. Victims are not fun to be around. And it's not fun to be a victim. So I want to learn to do the righteous kind of bringing glory to God in my suffering. Second goal that I have that is not my one goal to know God is that I want more from this relationship. Who can identify with that? I want more. I want more openness, and I want more connection with this person. And so that's not something I can control. I can't make the other person do that. But what can I believe God for? Well, I believe that I can know God by counting on him to show me what appropriate loving looks like. And my example is Jesus. I just took this straight out of the notes from last week. John 5:30 from the Message said Jesus got his marching orders from God. That is a promise I have from the Father, is that he will give me my marching orders and tell me what love looks like. And I can trust the other verse straight from the homework, Romans 5:5, that he has already planted his love and poured it out into my heart through his Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives within me. Okay, and you know what? Here's the key to this. This is the thing that got me over the hump as I'm praying this back to God, as I'm standing on the truth of this, as I'm counting on God to do it as a promise. I'm saying, okay, God, give me something to hang on to. Help, give me eyes to see it. Bless my eyes to see the way that leads to life. Here's what he reminded me of, that it only takes me and Jesus to connect. You want more connection, Kathy? You have got as much as you want with me. Only takes me and Jesus to have love flowing. And you know what? 1 Corinthians 13:8 tells me that love never fails. That means I am a winner. I am victorious. Whether the other person knows that I'm loving them, whether they recognize that I'm loving them, whether they want me to love them, guess what? They can't do a stinking thing about it. I can just love them anyway. And I enjoy the love. I enjoy the benefit of connection with Jesus. And I do believe that as we bring love into a situation, it does impact the people that we're loving. But I'm not looking for that result. I'm going to focus on the me and Jesus thing. Okay, my third goal is I want to fix the situation. Who is surprised about that? And I really want God to fix it because I think He'd fix it better. So what handle did I go to? What strategy, what principle could I turn into a promise? Well, I went to prayer. That was one of our strategies for our people issues. Jesus always lives to intercede. I can know Jesus. I can identify with Jesus as I pray for the person involved. So boy, I got busy praying. And then secondly, I found this fantastic new verse, and I got really excited about it. It's Isaiah 49:23 from the New American Standard. And basically the promise is this. It says, "You will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait on me will not be put to shame." So did you hear that? What he's saying is, as I wait on God, I'm going to know Him, and I'm not going to be put to shame. That is a great antidote to me, to that feeling of rejection, to that feeling of frustration, is that I know that I am going to know God, and that He is going to give me something to be proud of and excited about, and some fruit to really rejoice in. And then thirdly, it helps me to remember that God waits on high to have compassion, Isaiah 30:18. I can get to know the God who waits on high as I'm waiting on my people and my relationship to change. I can identify with the God who waits as I become a person who waits in love to have compassion. And the verse that God gave me this week to go with that was James 5:7. And the Message said it really well. So let me read it to you from the Message, James 5:7. "Wait patiently for the master's arrival." You see farmers do this all the time, waiting for their valuable crops to mature, patiently letting the rain do its slow but sure work. So see that as an active process of waiting. As we wait on the Lord to answer our prayers and fulfill our promises, we identify with the God who waits. Okay, so then I got to the next part. Those were my three goals. That's some of the work I did. That's some of the places I'm going to spend some time as I keep processing, because I'm not done with this issue. I got to that thing about, now try to visualize your life without these goals. Y'all, I'm just going to tell you, nada, zippo, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. But I tell you what I could do. So please don't feel like I'm making an F in discipleship, or I'm a loser at discipleship, I'm quitting discipleship because I can't answer this homework question. I couldn't answer it either. But what I could get a vision of was being a farmer. I mean, I got myself a straw hat. I got myself some overalls. I got myself a John Deere tractor. I mean, I was doing a little rain dance for some ladder rains. As I praised the Lord, I was getting into this thing about waiting patiently for the Lord to come and show up in this situation, and standing on the promise of Philippians 1:6 that He who began a good work will bring it to completion. So in the For What It's Worth category, that was my vision that I got onto, was the farmer vision. And the prayer I wrote in answer to that last question on the front of the page was this: "God, this is impossible unless You intervene. Do I believe that I can experience victory here if no one else participates? ? I say yes, simply because You said it, God. And I know that You can take my mustard seed of faith and make something big and beautiful out of it." So that was my prayer. And I just want to add one more thought to this. This relational issue that I'm dealing with and I'm processing, and it's processing on me, is long-standing. So I have some promises. I've sought the Lord about this issue a lot, and He has been faithful to give me some specific words from the Scripture, some specific principles that I can apply to that relationship. So I've got myself a little page in the back of my journal that I can go to when times get tough, when the burner gets turned up. I go to my promise page. You may not have that for your long-term situations, but I would ask the Lord to do that, first of all. Second of all, it may be a short-term situation you're dealing with. And if it is, this little white page that says Spiritual Blessings is a fantastic tool. I wrote this, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. I don't know how many times I've put it out there. Many times you've seen it before. But what it is a promise page. The verse I'm going to put with it is the one at the top of the page, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I don't know if I'm going to have earthly connection with the person involved that is more than it is right now. It may even get worse for all I know. I don't have a promise about that, but what I do have promises about is that God's going to bring this work to completion. I know that He's going to forgive the sins I've committed against that person. I know He's going to forgive their sins. I know I've got hope in Him. I know I can have joy in Him. I know there's newness to be had, that He's doing a new thing in me. These are spiritual promises that are God's will because they are God's word. Find one of these if you don't have a specific promise and apply it to that specific situation. So there's you some prayer and promise fodder right there. And then thirdly, prevailing in praise. So here I am Wednesday morning with my relational issue on the front burner. I've turned a lot of the issue into prayer, and I found promises within those principles that I'm praying back to God and working to believe. Now, next for me is go into a time of prayer with the Lord. Sometimes I do it opposite in my prayer time, but this time I did it the other way, so that's why we're doing it this way today. Because here's what I do a lot, is I will turn my music on, and here's what I'll do. I'll have all my notes out. I'm just writing furiously everything the Lord's showing me. Oh, there's a one-liner I'm going to write down. Oh, that's a verse. I'm going to start that one. I'm going to put that person's initials next to it. I'm going to get these little sticky notes, and I'm going to flag that one so I can go back to it and find it. And then I'm going to get my promise page out, and I've got my Bible, and I'm asking John 14:26, God, would you remind me of all you've taught me? And I know that there's something in this book that's going to help me have a breakthrough, and it's a truth I can stand on that's solid ground. And I've got my little notes from Tuesday lecture, that these are some principles that I know that I can turn into a promise and a prayer. And I've got the stuff I've written down, and baby, I'm spreading this stuff out before the Lord just like Hezekiah, and I've got it all out here. And now I'm going to go to my iTunes, and I'm going to go to my 3D CD Divine Design music collection, and I'm going to find some songs that match up with what I'm doing. And what I'm doing when I'm doing that, y'all, is multifold. We studied praise for a whole day, so you know some of those principles about how we can silence the lies of the enemy by doing that. We create an environment that invites God to come in, and as we honor and lift Him up. And mainly what I want to focus on today, though, is the fact that we are rehearsing. We are rehearsing. We are rehearsing. We are articulating using the tool and technique of articulation. And what we're doing is we are building up our faith muscles. And what it says, the verse on that articulation page is 2 Corinthians 4:13 that says, I believe, therefore I speak. That there's power to be had as we speak the truth. We don't want to tear down with our mouth what we've been working to believe in our spirit. And so oftentimes we'll go to Bible study, we'll sit before the Lord, we'll pray it back to the Lord, and then we'll turn around and say, Bob, I'm so frustrated with little so-and-so that I could just scream. So I have spent all that time getting myself clean, purifying my love, working to believe and focusing on God, and then I've just gone right back to where I started. I mean, I think I am better, but it's not very helpful. Secondly, Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So what I want to do is I want to announce the truth. I want to rehearse the truth. I want to build myself up in the truth, and I want to renounce every lie that I can identify about that situation. Going back to the thing about a victim, the person I'm relating to has a victim mindset, and you know what? I have a victim mindset about them. Boy, I got me some dynamite praying in. I got some dynamite rehearsing in. As the music was going, as I had my papers out, I was announcing, they're not a victim, and I'm not a victim. I am a victor. I have overwhelming victory. through Christ, Romans 8:37. And then the other thing, this was a one-liner that I wrote that I wanted to say about the victim thing. When we rehearse the problem, guess what? We're acting like a victim. We want to rehearse the truth and not the problem. And then remember what we said Paul said in Philippians 1:3 about the Philippians. He says, I thank God every time I think about you. That made me laugh out loud this, on Wednesday when I was doing my process. I thought, can I say that about this person? And I just hooted out loud laughing. I thought, no. And then the Lord reminded me of the tool and technique in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all things. Appreciation, give thanks. And I thought, I don't from just my gut and from my flesh give thanks every time I think of that person, but you know what I can do? I can give thanks for this situation, and I can give thanks for the tool this person is in God's hand in my life as part of his process. Because, and here's a killer verse for that, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. So I'm saying, okay, so there's another vision. I'm the farmer planting my seeds, praying for rain, and then I'm seeing this other person as like a knife sharpener or some kind of other, you know, one of those little wheels where people grind their axe or something like that. If you have an axe to grind, then, you know, see it as that instead of somebody, you know, beating you up. See it as a sharpening tool that God's using in your life. Okay, so that is pretty much what I did. And I now am going to give you the opportunity to do that. And let me give you a few instructions. I want you now to forget my example, which I didn't give you much about, but get in touch with your own issue as we go to praise. Any goals that you've identified that are other than knowing God, I want you to open your heart and your mind. Let it be an option in your mind that this situation can be different. Open your heart and mind to the Holy Spirit. And open your mind to the fact that articulating and exercising these truths will be a part of the rebuilding process in that relationship, or at least in your own life. Ephesians 5:26 says this. It's a very powerful verse. It says that Christ washes us with the water of the Word. He sanctifies his church, his bride, by the washing of the water of the Word. Sanctify, that's the process of making us holy and whole, rebuilding. So as you wash with these principles, believe that that's happening. Spread out your papers, get your pen out. We've got the lights a little bit brighter today. Y'all, go for it. This is a workshop. If you want to stand there, if you want to sit with your pen in your hand and your papers, you don't have to sing a note. You can just write your little heart out. If you want to stand up and if you want to put your hand on your Bible, if you want to get your wallet out or whatever you keep your pictures in, and if you want to hold your picture of your family up before the Lord, I say this is your time. Do that. I mean, these are the things I do at home. So nobody's looking. I mean, everybody's here working on their own issue. Please feel free to do whatever you need to do to make this count. Let's see if I have anything else to tell you. Oh, then when we get done, Dana's going to have a slide up here, but let me tell you what it means. It says, please observe a discipline of silence. This is holy ground, y'all. I mean, I want you to treat this as if, okay, Phyllis over here is doing her work. I do not want to make a peep to interrupt what's going on with her and God, or Catherine, or whomever. This is holy ground. So I want you to take what you did. I'm going to give you a few minutes to finish writing, and then I want you to take that, and I want you to go in silence to group. If you need to go tinkle or whatever, that's fine. But if you're in the bathroom, please don't speak. Please stay vertical. Keep listening as you wash your hands. Let the rivers of living water wash over you. I mean, believe that God is working here and treat it as holy ground. And then in group time, we'll take whatever you've done here and we'll take it the next step. And let me say two more little baby things. One is I've given you a few references for these songs. Most of these should be familiar songs. sometimes, now this is not for us to do today, or you may do it while you're sitting here, but sometimes it helps me to look up a verse that backs up a song, like they're writing this song because it is well with my soul. For example, I put, I've learned to be content, Philippians 4:11. So it helps me sometimes to look up verses to go with the songs, and that's what I've done for you here, and you can just go to town with that. And then the other thing that I wanted to say is, that we will have just a moment before we turn the music on for question and answer.